What's up, fight fans? Welcome to Full Press MMA. It is Monday, February 6th, and we are coming off a big weekend of fights in the UFC, of fights in Bellator, all kinds of things going on as I get set to bring you all the news, all the notes, all the hot topics, and the hot takes you need to be the smartest MMA fan in the room in any conversation. So when it's time to shut that door and they lock it behind you, you're ready to throw down and get your hand raised. I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease underscore, at Cageside Grease on social media. It's Full Press MMA. It's Monday. Let's roll. Huge weekend, busy day, but the only place we're going to start today is, of course, the retirement fight of Fedor Emelianenko, one of the greatest to ever compete in MMA, an icon of a bygone era, one of the originals, the OGs in the modern era of the fight game. Bellator 290 in Inglewood, right outside of LA, on Saturday was the location, and Ryan Bader was the spoiler of the occasion for Fedor, with all those legends they had in attendance, which was cool, by the way, but it just had the feel of a guy who's way too old being paraded out there for the sake of ratings and attention, which is what Bellator's done, and it's been my issue with Bellator, bringing the older fighters back after they've already fought their entire career when it's way too late, and trying to make it seem like they're still who they were, and I get that, I understand why they do it, but I just hate to see fighters fight too long, and Fedor has definitely done that. He didn't look like anything close to what he used to be in there against Ryan Bader at 46 years old. Bader did what he was supposed to do. Bader, no spring chicken at 39, but watching Fedor throwing those right-handed bombs, and as they're zipping by, you know that if one of them connects, Bader's going out, but there's no way Bader was going to let one happen. Bader defends his Bellator heavyweight championship against Fedor. Again, the legends were there. You can think what you want. You can say what you want. Dana White says, hey, Fedor's not the greatest heavyweight of all time. He lost to Dan Henderson, who was a middleweight, and all these things, all these opinions being dropped everywhere about Fedor. But the bottom line is, a legend, a true legend of the sport, just said goodbye. Was it too long in the making? Yes. Was he too old when it happened? Yes. But, man, Ryan Bader, after knocking Fedor out in 35 seconds in the first fight, this time it was 2.5 minutes, dropped him with an overhand right less than a minute in, and just began a bludgeoning when thankfully Herb Dean stopped the fight. But again, all those photos in the cage after, really cool, feel-good moment, yes. Way too long in the making, way too late happening, yes. Someone's going to get really badly hurt. I keep saying this, no one's listening. Meanwhile, Ryan Bader had a couple things to say after the fight, as you might imagine. Kind of scoffed a little bit at the pay that was released for Bellator 290, saying he made 150 grand to beat Fedor, and Fedor made 100 grand. Bader just basically saying it's a joke, saying, quote, no, I made significantly more. You get that a lot. They'll release that, and people are like, Fedor only made 100,000 for this fight? No, I wouldn't be fighting if I was making that. This is a job for me, and I'm making the kind of money where it's hard to walk away from. To walk in a cage at our level and how good we are and leave the money on the table, the biggest players in there, the champions, that kind of stuff, it's disclosed pay. But Bellator treats us very, very well, and I know they treat Fedor even better. Bader, of course, has been with Bellator since 2017 after a 20-fight run with the UFC, says he makes 8 or 9 times more than he did fighting in the octagon. And with Bader, I believe him, because that dude has a ton of sponsors. And if he's able to keep that money, that's where it's coming. No word on what might be next for Ryan Bader, but man, he is absolutely just pumped to see what happens moving forward as the heavyweight champ of Bellator. Real quick side note, he did mention that he would take John Jones in an easy win over Ciryl Gane coming up on March 4th in the UFC. Bader would know he fought Jones when both were undefeated way back in 2012. Also at Bellator 290, an impressive win by Johnny Eblen. I want to see more against tougher competition than Anatoly Tokov. Nothing against him. Very tough. Was hard to finish in that fight, and Johnny Eblen keeps on rolling. He is one of the best in the world at that weight. But again, I want to see more before I can rank him or decide where I want to put him in that top 5, top 10, wherever that is. And how about Brennan Ward in the fire fight, getting that finish? That was awesome to watch as well. Good representation by Bellator for show on network TV, minus the fact that Fedor and Bader was a joke. I mean, no one's going to convince me otherwise. You cannot put that guy in there at this point in time with anybody who's any good. His name was used as he was used for ratings, for money, and all those things, and he did the same in return. So he got what he wanted. They got what they wanted, and yeah, the fight fans, not so much, because Fedor did not belong in the same cage as Ryan Bader. Moving on with Full Press MMA on your Monday, February 6th. It's Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease underscore, at Cageside Grease on social media. Moving on, we go to the UFC Apex. And for a fight that was supposed to take place in November as a main event between two of the top 10 heavyweights in the world, this one did not really give us much. Derek Lewis and Sergey Spivak on the fight night headlining. Derek Lewis beaten again, 3 in a row, and 4 out of 5 now on the wrong side of the decision for Derek Lewis. Sergey Spivak threw him around and then submitted him at 3:05 of round number one with the arm triangle choke, and everyone's wondering what is going on with Derek Lewis. Meanwhile, Devin Clark taking advantage of his opportunity at light heavyweight, a unanimous decision win over Jung Daun. And Marcin Tybura against Blagoy Ivanov, and that was a tough one, you know, to watch. It just was boring, and neither guy really did all that much. A couple of plotters moving forward, neither one with much of a chance to finish the other, but Tybura does what he needed to do, gets the win. Duho Choi beats Kyle Nelson. Yeah, I said it. Dana White gave him a bonus like he wanted anyway. It was a majority draw, but again, Duho Choi won that fight. And then Adam Fugit defeated Yusaka Kinoshita by TKO. At 4:36 of round number one, of course, the UFC had their road to UFC finals from the tournament they had in Asia last year. And that, of course, was done at lightweight, featherweight, bantamweight, and flyweight. The winners, Anshul Jubilee, Zhang Yong Lee, Rinya Nakamura, and Hyung-Sung Park. Sergey Spivak, Nakamura, Jubilee, and Tatsuro Taira earned the $50,000 fight night bonuses. Betting favorite 7-3 on the card. Debuting fighters 4-6. But a decent night for the UFC in the Apex. And they're just moving forward now to the big one coming up this weekend in Australia. Islam Makhachev defending his lightweight belt against Alexander Volkanovski, the featherweight champion and number one on the pound-for-pound list. It's pound-for-pound versus double champ. That's what Makhachev and Volkanovski are fighting for this weekend. Going to be a big week. We'll be on top of it all week long. And, of course, you can find me on MMA Weekly, their social media, as well as mine, and hosting the live shows during the fight, during the weigh-ins, during the press conferences on MMA Weekly's YouTube. And how about this one? Surprise, surprise, Dana White with a shocking announcement about UFC 284 over the weekend. The pay-per-view record in Australia, which is where this event was in New Zealand, was previously set by Conor McGregor. And of course, not necessarily fighting there, but the number of buys from that region, Australia and New Zealand. Dana saying, quote, it's a monster fight, and just the gate out there alone is going to be a Madison Square Garden type gate. If I had my phone, I'd walk you through every one of the things. It's beating all the fights of its type, and it's probably going to beat the record for pay-per-view in Australia and New Zealand. The UFC, our record, which was Conor and somebody, but it looks like it's going to break that record. It is a monster fight. That it is, no doubt. And of course, I'll have wall-to-wall coverage for you here all week, including the fight stack, odds, and fight previews right here on Full Press MMA channel. You don't want to miss those. Moving on with Full Press MMA, Jim Greece, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Greece underscore, at Cageside Greece on social media, Monday, February 6th, with all the news and all the hot topics, all the hot takes you need to be the smartest fan in the room. Conor McGregor with a big-time announcement today to his 45.9 million Twitter followers with a post saying, quote, channeling my inner Steve Jobs for a mega announcement tomorrow. Stay tuned at Apple. So channeling his inner Steve Jobs, Connor's wearing the black mock turtleneck that Steve Jobs made famous. And he is showing his watch in the picture. Who knows, but it is an iconic Steve Jobs post that Connor put in the picture. Conor McGregor and Apple. Wonder what kind of partnership they're going to be coming up with there. We'll find out tomorrow from the Notorious. Of course, Conor getting ready to coach the Ultimate Fighter against Michael Chandler that next season coming up before the two will face each other in the Octagon. Dana White with a big announcement on Saturday. Of course, no location or date has been set yet for the fight, but that high-stakes bout should take place in December. That's according to Michael Chandler telling ESPN. Saying, quote, that would make the most sense to me. Obviously, Conor is driven by pay-per-view buys. You want to keep that tension from the reality show as close to the fight as possible. You start pushing it to the end of the year. Other big fights are happening. September would be absolutely perfect. It's the 31st season of Tough. It'll run from May 30th to August 15th. McGregor, of course, coached Tough before against Uriah Faber. Hasn't fought since 2021 over the summer when he broke his leg against Dustin Poirier. Not currently in the USADA testing pool. Before he can fight, USADA said McGregor would need to be in the testing pool for at least 6 months and have 2 negative tests. McGregor, of course, the former lightweight and featherweight champ. Chandler, the former three-time Bellator champ and UFC title contender. That's going to be a lot of fun with those two jumping in each other's face from the start of that fight. And one other bit of Conor McGregor news. You heard me tell you on Friday that Liam Neeson, the famous actress from Ireland, called Conor a leprechaun and had some not-so-nice things to say about the UFC. McGregor replying, "Irish proud, always." But Liam Neeson had said he can't stand the UFC. It's like a bar fight and unbelievable. But McGregor has seen Neeson's interview and appears to have taken the high road, just posting "Irish proud, always." Other quick UFC news for you. A new contract for rising star in the UFC, Sugar Sean O'Malley, the bantamweight title contender. A new 8-fight contract with the UFC. Dana White announcing the news on Saturday. Sugar Sean 16-1, 8-1 in the UFC. One of the biggest names in the sport today. Just 28 years old. Came into the UFC almost 5 years ago, earning the contract on Dana's Contender Series, but he has become one of the top contenders in the world at 135, saying, quote, on his YouTube channel, "I got a very gracious contract that I'm proud of. I got a number that I'm very happy with. I truly don't think any manager that I had could have went in there and got me what I got. It also helps with the relationship I've built with the UFC. I feel like that I've earned this contract. I feel like I have earned the amount that I'm getting paid. Close split decision win last time out over former champ Piotr Jan at UFC 280. For O'Malley, who's awaiting the winner, he says, of Henry Cejudo's comeback fight against champion Aljamain Sterling. O'Malley, of course, lives in Arizona, right in Cejudo's backyard. They've gone back and forth with some trash talk as well. Of course, Sean's only career defeat was against Chito Vera, who is fighting Corey Sandhagen in a top contenders matchup in San Antonio in April. But he had that drop foot injury in the first round that helped Vera get the TKO when O'Malley was actually winning that fight. Sugar Sean, you know he's getting paid. Wrapping it up on Full Press MMA, Monday, February 6th, Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease _, at Cageside Grease on social media. Stay here all week for complete coverage of the big UFC pay-per-view in Perth, Australia this weekend, as well as everything else that's going on to make you the smartest MMA fan in any conversation. And how about this conversation? Game Bread Boxing, owned by Jorge Masvidal, has added a fight card that you are not going to believe. Anthony Pettis, former UFC champion, against Roy Jones Jr. Jose Aldo versus Jeremy Stephens. This is April 1st in Milwaukee. Of course, Masvidal is training for his fight against Gilbert Burns at UFC 287 in early April in Miami. But the Game Bread Boxing 4 event, scheduled for Saturday, April 1st at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, will be headlined by UFC lightweight champ Anthony Pettis, former, of course, and aging boxing icon Roy Jones Jr., a pro belt that will follow Aldo and Stevens. And man, Masvidal saying, quote, "I've always been a fan of Roy Jones. Always wanted to work with Roy Jones in some capacity. He's going to be fighting someone that inspired me in my career numerous times. WEC champ, UFC champ. I think both his wins for the UFC title were finishes. This guy has knockouts and finishes in 3 weight classes. It's crazy what he's done in his career in MMA. Great striker. He agreed to fight the walking living legend, the pound-for-pound king. One of the best fighters, athletes I've ever seen in combat sports, period. Versus Anthony Pettis. Pettis versus Jones. Aldo versus Stevens. Vitor Belfort versus Jacare Souza. It is a pretty good card for Jorge Masvidal, Game Bread Boxing. A couple of notes from MMA history. It wasn't today, but it was yesterday when it was the 12-year anniversary of Anderson Silva finishing Vitor Belfort with one of the greatest knockouts in UFC history. That front kick straight up the pipe connected right in the jaw of Vitor and knocked him out cold. Little MMA history there. And happy 31st birthday to Alexander the Rocket Rokic, top 5 fighter in the UFC's light heavyweight division. Been out with an injury for a while, but he's one of the best in the world. Alexander Rokic, right there in his prime. That's all there is, fight fans. There is no more. Full Press MMA on Monday, February 6th. I'm Jim Grease, G-R-I-E-S, at Jim Grease _, at Cageside Grease on social media. Thank you for being here again all week long with the Fight Stack here on Full Press MMA. All the news from Australia, everything you need to be the smartest fan in the room, plus the breakdowns and the odds breakdowns as well to keep you flush, if you know what I'm saying, with the sports book. Keep your game tight and your mind right, fight fans. I'm out.